How's everybody doing this morning? It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? I so enjoyed the worship this morning. You know, things happen when we worship. You can receive healing while you're worshiping. Do you know that? Oh, yeah, man, I'll tell you what. It brings us into the presence of God. I believe the Lord wants to answer some prayer in this house this morning. I really do. I believe God wants to manifest his presence among his people. Every time in the Bible when Jesus made post-resurrection appearances, it changed everything. It dispelled fear. He'd come in with, generally speaking, the first words out of his mouth were, "Fear not," you know, because when the Lord is present, he dispels fear. I want to talk to you today about the peace of God. The peace of God. And the scripture is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. There's so much of this beautiful chapter. You know, Jesus realized that his time was short on planet Earth when he spoke these words that John wrote. He had only a few days, really within a matter of 24 to 30 hours, he would be on the cross. And he was preparing his followers for this event. And he opens the chapter in the very first verse. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me." You believe in God, believe also in me. He's dispelling fear and doubt and unbelief. And then he says, "I'm going away. I'm going to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you may be also." Heaven's in view. The end is in view. Jesus is preparing this place. Then in the 23rd verse of John chapter 14, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you." Look at it. Then he says, "The Helper is coming, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, and he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." And here's the key verse. "Peace I leave with you. This is my peace that I'm giving to you. It's not like the world. It's not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Father, I pray this morning that somehow you would have your way in this service, that you would bring a peace to the troubled heart today, that you would bring a comfort to those who need the mighty comforter in their lives, that you would bring a touch, Lord, of your hand, your healing hand upon lives that need healing. But most of all, Father, anyone here today who's outside of the grace of God, who just simply has not received Jesus as Savior and Lord in their lives, I pray that today they would come into relationship with you. We ask it in Christ's name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Jesus wants us to, he had a special kind of peace. Keep in mind, these words were spoken in the light of the cross, within hours. And he's got this peace in him that he wants to share with us, because he's moving into a new era. He would not be around for them to see him like they saw him in that day. He'd be absent from the 12 that had learned to follow him and trust him. And he's offering something that he knew they would need. They would need the comfort of his peace. They would need the ministry of the Holy Spirit in their lives to reassure them and to strengthen them and to help them and to comfort them. So the peace of God that he speaks of here is, number one, it's peace with God. Peace with God. Number two, it's the peace that Jesus had himself. It was his. And number three, it's the peace that would bring us into harmony and unity within his body, within his church. He wants peace for us with one another. He don't want strife in the home. He don't want strife between a husband and a wife or between parents and children. He wants us to move into his peace with each other. So it's a three-pronged peace. A king summons artists together, and he said to them, I want you to paint for me a picture of peace. I want to see what peace looks like. And so there were many, many who responded, and out of them there were two, and he was in a quandary between the two. And the one was a beautiful scene of a tranquil lake with scarcely a ripple in the water. Beautiful mountains round about, green, and a boy in a little red rowboat with a fishing line over the edge of the boat. I think I've seen that picture somewhere. Serene. The other, in contrast to that, was a picture of a raging waterfall, rocks, gray skies, even a flash of lightning. But in the midst of all that, out of the rock was a tree that came up, and in the bough of the tree, a bird with a nest full of little birds. And she was sitting on that nest with the utmost peace and tranquility. And he chose that one to be the picture of peace, because this is the picture of what Christ is talking about here, folks. We live in a war-torn world. You know, in the last nearly 4,000 years, there have only been 286 years where there was not a war on the face of the earth. We live in a troubled times. I don't know how much the news you watch. I can only handle so much these days, I'll be honest with you, and I have to look at something else. We're blessed here in the United States of America. I hope you had a good 4th of July, because we are a blessed nation. But the reality is, we live in a war-torn world, a troubled world, a world where there's sickness, a world where there's pain, a world where there's conflict. People are on the move. Refugees. We hear it every day. People are wanting to come into this country. There's a lot of controversy going on. We live in a day and a time where there's a lot of conflict. We live in troubled times. Do you know, in the Old Testament and among the Jewish people, there was this word called shalom, S-H-A-L-O-M, shalom. They said it when they met somebody on the street. They said it for hello, and they could say it for goodbye. It's an interesting word. It's a word that speaks of wholeness, completeness, tranquility, full of well-being. It's the peace of God that they would speak to one another. You know, Pastor Steve, that might not be a bad idea for us in these days of time. Why don't you look at the person next to you and look them right in the eye and tell them, shalom. You're saying to them, I want blessing for you. I want tranquility for you. I want peace for you. I don't want to embarrass him this morning, but I'm glad for my grandsons here. You know, if you don't know, I want you to know that Johnny and Jack are my grandsons. I'm very proud of them. When Johnny was a little boy, he had a Bible. Before he could talk scarcely, I guess his mom or his dad gave him a little Bible. I don't know. And he slept with his Bible. And I remember one day being on vacation or somewhere where Johnny was in his little playpen, about 2 years old, maybe less. And he woke up from a nap in a tither. And he stood up and said, God's word! Where's God's word? I need God's word! We thought it cute at the time, but I thought, dear me, that word of God brings comfort to this boy's heart. He can't even read it! God's word brings comfort. God's word brings peace. Jesus gave us, it's a legacy. It's an endowment. It's something in the light of his crucifixion that he wanted so much for you and I to have. One man says he gave his body to Joseph of Arimathea's grave. He gave his mother to John the Beloved, and he gave his peace to you and to me. A marvelous thing. It's his. It's a gift from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we oftentimes read over that so quickly. We find ourselves worried and troubled about so many, many, many things when the Lord Jesus gives us this gift. But like any gift, it must be received. We've got to acknowledge it. We've got to receive it from his hand. And we've got to value it and appreciate it and implement it in our lives. It's found in relationship. Jesus made it very clear. He says, I'm not giving you a peace or the peace. I'm giving you my peace. The peace of knowing that he was living in the very center of God's plan and God's will, coming into the world to be the sacrifice for your sin and my sin on the cross. He lived with that awareness. And now, just moments and hours before this time would happen, he offers that. He wants that to come to you and to me. A legacy. Isaiah spoke about it early on, 700 years prior to the Christ coming. He says, his name shall be called Prince of Peace. Mighty God, Everlasting Father. But among that, Prince of Peace. In Isaiah 53, when Isaiah prophesied about his crucifixion, He said he was chastised, beaten, striped, chastised, so that you and I could have peace. Ephesians tells us simply that he is our peace. He's our peace. Romans 5 and verse 1 says we're justified. Having justified us by faith, he justified us by faith, we have peace with God. Oh, I like Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. We sang it this morning in the song. It blessed me. It says, Jesus made peace. Is it up there? Jesus made peace through the blood of his cross, having made peace through the blood of his cross. The man that wrote the old hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. This man was, he wrote that, he penned those words when he was 25 years old. Joseph, his name was Joseph Scarvian. He was engaged to be married. And the day before his wedding, his fiancée was drowned and died in a drowning accident. He was heartbroken. He sailed from Ireland to Canada. In Canada, he met another woman and fell in love. And again, days prior to his marriage, she died. And at the same time, he gets word from his mother who's dying in Ireland, and he can't make passage back to Ireland, and he sits down and writes the song that you and I have sung so many times. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. It's given a gift to the children of God. It comes in relationship. Oh, you know, all day long, you know, all day long, we need to recognize that God is there, his presence is with us. He's not afar off. If you don't have that kind of relationship, just call out to the Lord. Say, Lord, I want you to be bigger in my life. Come into my heart. Come into my life. It comes with relationship. Number two, recognize today that this is unlike anything the world has to offer. This is a peace, the Bible says, that is it transcends understanding. It's not like the world gives. It's greater than anything the world could possibly come up with. It's a contrast. If we want the worldly peace, is everything going my way? The worldly peace is never having a problem to solve. The world's peace is wimpy. It requires tranquility every day and in every issue and in everything, that nothing can ever go wrong. That's the world's peace. You can have it. But we don't live in that kind of a world. The world don't offer that. We don't have that. It's in contrast. It's the peace that transcends human understanding. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. The peace that transcends human understanding. There was one fella, had a sign on his desk. He says, I've got so many problems, so many troubles, that if anything else comes up, I can't even worry about it for 2 weeks. You ever feel that way? I can't even worry about it for 2 weeks. To have this kind of peace, the peace of God, in contrast to what the world offers, it's a peace that requires us to, number one, be in relationship with the Lord, and thirdly, or secondly, then, to be in alignment with God's will and with God's plan and with God's purpose for our lives. I like what the Apostle Paul said after that verse 7 in Philippians chapter 4. He said we need to focus our thinking. And he says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's going to be any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Can I tell you, when you worry about the little things that come up in a day, the things we worry about tomorrow, we worry about our bills, we worry about our kids, we worry about our finances, we worry and worry and worry. That's not what Paul's talking about here. He says, focus your thinking to where whatever things are good, whatever things are true, whatever things are worthy, whatever things are praiseworthy. How many know the devil's a liar? How many know that he lies to us all the time? He can't open his mouth, but he's going to tell a lie of some sort. And we worry in advance. We worry. Paul's saying, think on good things. Think on the things that are true, the things that are praiseworthy, the things that are honorable. I like what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 26. He says simply that I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon me, for he trusts in me. I will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed, steadfast on you, on God, because he trusts in God. Now that's a discipline, folks, I'm going to tell you right now. Not real easy. But that's where our strength lies. In aligning ourselves with God's will and with God's plan and walking in fellowship with the Lord and keeping in mind that God's got everything in control. Lining up with God's plan. In John chapter 16, Jesus followed that up by saying in verse number 33, these things have I spoken to you. In me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That's beautiful. Be of good cheer. Cheer up, church, cheer up. Purpose to put on a happy face. There's trouble in this world. Jesus said there would be. I don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds our future. And the Lord is saying, it's time to cheer up, get excited, get happy, hallelujah. Recognize that God is true, he's going to see us through. I will keep him in perfect peace, his mind God help us to keep our mind on him. Oh my. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. Are you there? 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Bringing every thought into captivity. The enemy puts thoughts in our minds all the time, and we got to do something about it. We've got to take action. Cast them down. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, do you know that one third of kingdom blessing, according to Romans chapter 14, one third of kingdom blessing is peace. The apostle writes, Apostle Paul writes these words. He says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, cheer up. Hallelujah. I've overcome the world. There's trouble in the world, but I've overcome the world. I've got this thing under control. I've got a plan. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'd like you to go there with me if you would this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and looking at verse number 11, I tell you, God's word is so good, folks. If you've not been in it, get in the word. Verse 9 even, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and build each other up, edify one another, just as you are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now, the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ is given to us individually, but it's given to us as a body. It was given to his followers. It's given to his church. And every post-resurrection, as I said earlier, appearance of Jesus always entered with peace to you. It is I, be not afraid. It's the peace of God. It comes to the church. And he's saying to it, build each other up. We need to start speaking encouragement to each other. And encourage leadership. Hallelujah. Build one another up. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 says, Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Keep it harmonious. Oh, glory to God. Don't you know that the enemy wants to get us off on irrelevant tangents of little issues that don't amount to a hill of beans when we stand in the light of an eternity, when we stand in the light of Christ and his word and the plan of God for our lives? Don't get off on some little diddly thing. I believe these are days and times when God's bringing his body together and wants unity for the people of God. And we need to encourage one another in the battle. The church of Jesus is a triumphant body. We live in victory. Glory to God. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace that Christ gives Control your thinking. For it's peace that you were chosen to be together in one body. You were chosen. If you're a child of God this morning, you're chosen. You're chosen to be together in one body. Glory to God. Glory to God. I like to listen to a Catholic priest on television. I forget his name now, but called Passion. You ever see it? It's on TBN. This fellow's got it together. He's Catholic. I tell you what, though, he's my brother. He's my brother. He blesses me. He encourages me. He strengthens me. We're a part of a great church, folks. God is doing something in this world. We're chosen to be together. Together. Hallelujah. To do the things that make for peace, the things by which one may edify another. God help us. One word from the Lord Jesus Christ calmed an angry sea. One word. Now, I guess two, actually. Peace be still. Three. My math's off a little bit. Peace be still. Peace be still. Disciples said, "How can you sleep, Jesus? When the storm is raging." He spoke those words, peace. I'm not sure if he was talking to the sea or if he was talking to the hearts of his disciples. The Apostle Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail, bleeding from the stripes that were laid on them, began to sing and praise the Lord. Peace in the time of trouble. He offers it to you and I today. Receive it. Receive it. Deal with the thoughts that come to your mind. Deal with them. Deal with the little issues that are so, you know, they're an issue today and they're not an issue tomorrow. Just put them under the blood of Jesus. I heard the testimony of Dottie Ramble. Yeah, that woman was gifted by God to write songs. I mean, if you know any of her songs. But one of them that stands out in my mind is the song Sheltered in the Arms of God. Dottie talked about going through some very difficult times in her life. I don't know all what they were. And she found herself on a beach one day, and she knew that God had put something in her, stirring a song within her heart that she got from the Lord. And she began to cry out to the Lord and pray, and she was troubled about the issues that were going on in her life. Things that people were doing, people were saying. And she began to cry out to the Lord and walked, and she said suddenly she got quiet and she felt the hand of God on her life. And she wrote the words, "I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must trod. I have no fear when Jesus walks beside me." That's relationship. "For I'm sheltered in the arms of God." I want you to feel God's touch today. I believe the Lord wants to minister to you today. I believe the Lord wants to speak peace to your heart. Again, let me share with you this morning, if you feel distant from Jesus, if you feel anywhere, you know, that maybe one time you were closer to him than you are today, I would encourage you to call out to him, because he wants to touch your life. I remember a time. I remember it so well. And the words of this song reminded me of it again. I got to tell you, I'm at a place in life where I forgot about 2/3 of everything that's ever happened to me. Anybody else there yet? That's like the guy, you know, who couldn't see good. But he was a scratch golfer. I mean, the guy was a good golfer, old man. But he couldn't see good anymore, so when he hit the ball, he couldn't find it. But he had this friend that had good sight, and so he'd come with him, and he would find the ball for him. But one day he was golfing. He showed up at the clubhouse, and this friend didn't show up. He didn't come, and he really wanted to golf that day. So he's sitting over there, and another fellow comes in and says, "Hey, you know, you're looking for a golfing partner?" "Well, yeah." He said, "Mine didn't show up." He said, I want to play, but I can't find the ball. I hit the ball. I can't find the ball." Well, the guy said, "I got good eyesight." He said, I'll go with you." So they went out. Sure enough, this old boy hit that ball, hit it out there, and hit it far, and said to the fellow that was with him, said, "Well," he said, did you see it? "Yeah," he said, "I saw it." He said, "Well, can we go get it?" "Well," he said, I forgot. Where? One guy had a bad memory, the other guy had bad eyesight. My memory's not the best. My wife tells me things, honestly, folks, I don't doubt her, but I can't remember. We go through it every day, don't we? But I remember things that the Lord has done in my life. I remember them like they were yesterday. Roger, I tell you what, I could. If it was still standing, I could take you to the place where the Holy Spirit so drawed me out and pulled me to an altar of salvation. And it's so real to me today as it ever has been. I'll never forget it. So real, so powerful. I remember a time as a pastor. I'd been pastoring for many years. I was very discouraged. You know, pastors can get that way. And I remember delivering my message that day. And I couldn't go out and pray for anybody. I had to pray for myself. So I never left the platform. I turned around and fell down by a chair there, and I cried out to God. I remember like it was yesterday. I never had it happen before or since, but in my time of prayer, I felt two hands on my shoulders. It was so strong and so real that I had to look to see if somebody hadn't come up from the congregation to pray for the pastor that day. There was no one there. It was the hand of God. And that hand of God brought peace into my life. And comfort to my soul and strength for the journey. And it can be yours today. Pastor Steve, come on up.